This is episode 40 of the IDRA Class Notes Podcast.
We put up all the questions so they become our setting purposes for reading or for learning questions. And I have found it to be a very powerful strategy because after this, students are ready. They're ready to read, they're ready to learn because they've generated the questions.
Well, welcome to IDRA's Class Notes Podcast. I am Dr. Bradley Scott. In this podcast series, we explore issues facing education today and strategies for teachers and administrators to better serve all students. Don't forget, we would love to hear from you with any comments or questions you may have, and we'll have details at the end of this podcast on how you can contact us. If you like our show, and I certainly hope you do, please tell three colleagues or leave a review for us on iTunes. That helps others to find us. And by the way, don't forget to sign up for our free email alert that will let you know when each podcast episode of Class Notes is available. And if you're not subscribing through iTunes, this email alert can help you to stay up to date. Don't forget, we won't use your email address for any other purpose. We just want you to go to our website and sign up. And by the way, while you're there, you can also sign up for our monthly electronic newsletter called Graduation for All. It's free and shares news and resources focusing on graduation for all students across the country. So you can sign up at our website for either the English or the Spanish version. I'll remind you of this at the end of the podcast, but I want to jump right into today's session. Our topic for today is Fostering Student Questions with Dr. Juanita Garcia. Now, Juanita, and I'll refer to her as Dr. Garcia and Juanita because she is a close friend and colleague of mine, has been a teacher in several school districts throughout our state and has served as an administrator, intern, and assistant principal. Now, at IDRA, she is a site coordinator for IDRA's FLAIR project and for our Coca-Cola Value Youth programs. She received her master's degree in liberal arts and elementary bilingual education from Southern Methodist University in Dallas, and her doctorate in educational administration from Texas A&M University. And she absolutely is one of those trainers, mentors, and coaches extraordinaire as she goes into classrooms and works with teachers, bringing to life the best of what research has to offer and showing in a very practical way how research comes to life. So I am delighted to have Dr. Garcia with us today and talking about a topic that is strange in many respects, new in many respects, but quite necessary in all regards. And so let me say good afternoon to you, Juanita.
Good afternoon.
Great to have you here this afternoon. And I just want to jump right into it by asking, why on earth should we as educators be focusing on fostering questions from students?
Well, Bradley, thank you for your nice, wonderful words you said about me. But let me just go in and say that research does tell us that most of the questions in school are asked by the teachers. And I think they said it comes at a rate of every 2 to 3 seconds, teachers ask questions.
You mean that often we are asking students questions?
Yes. We're asking them at 2 to 3 second interval rates. But here's the really most, sad part about this, is that most of these questions, because researchers went in and sat in classrooms and timed it and what kind of questions, are all at the knowledge and recall level. So all we're asking as teachers are questions, did you get it? Did you get the information I'm trying to give you? And okay, that's it. Let's move on.
It doesn't sound like we're asking students to think much or to create thought and to evaluate what they're hearing, just to give back to us what we have given to them.
Exactly. And the most important questions of all are those that are asked by students as they try to make sense of the information that they're getting. So this is what we as teachers, educators, need to do, is to enable students to generate their own content questions. And that increases engagement, it improves learning, and it really is a very purposeful way of involving them with content.
So should we give up on teacher questions, teacher-generated questions altogether?
No, I think teacher-generated questions are very effective when planned effectively, when the teacher is a facilitator, and the teacher is always a student observer, listener, what's going on in the classroom. So when the teacher sees that there are other points that need to be made, this is when the teacher specifically generates their own higher level questions, not just at the knowledge and recall level. So this takes a lot of planning and preparation as well from the teacher.
And so Juanita, I would imagine you spend a good deal of time helping teachers to know how to create this dance between teacher-generated questions and student-generated questions.
Exactly.
Okay, and what does that look like for you as a technical assistance provider and as a coach and mentor for other teachers? What does that look like for you?
One of the strategies, and you mentioned FLAIR, which is the focusing on language and academic instructional renewal. And what FLAIR is we've gathered these research-based strategies and kind of put them in a framework that says these are strategies to activate prior knowledge. These are strategies for vocabulary development. So one strategy that we use, that I use a lot, I use it with teachers in my professional development sessions. I use it with students as I work in the classrooms modeling strategies for teachers, is something called group memory. And I believe we may have a link to that strategy. It's a research-based instructional strategy that really is all about building background and finding out what prior knowledge these students have. But one of the most powerful parts of the strategy is that students at some point in the strategy generate their own questions. And I like to use, I'm trained under Kagan Cooperative Learning.
Sure.
And I have found that Kagan has a question matrix that is very effective as a tool to use with this strategy. So I just kind of want to share a scenario that may be so that those listeners can understand what the strategy
is. Well, go right ahead. Let's see if how this works for us or how it might
okay.
work for us.
The strategy is called group memory, and it consists of a few steps. First, it's write, kind of like reminds you of a KWL, what you know, what you want to know, and what you've learned. So the students write everything they know about a topic. Let's say it is a science topic about matter. So we ask the students to, in cooperative teams, to write everything they know about matter. For example, I'm thinking of a team of four students that are seated together, and they are the Tri-City scientists, because we've already built that team building, very important component of cooperative learning, where the students really want to work together.
And see themselves
and
as a
see
team.
Themselves as a team.
Sure.
So the teams are together. They are the Tri-City scientists. The topic is states of matter, and they are to write anything they know about the topic. Each student has a different colored marker so that the teacher knows who has, and they write their names on the paper with their marker and so forth for accountability. So the team is given 5 minutes to just write, and I've seen this done in all different kinds of ways. They'll pass the paper around, they help each other, they put their heads together, but in the end, after the 5 minutes, we have a lot of prior knowledge listed on our computer paper.
Sure.
About matter. So then, after they write, the next step is to list individual questions that they have about the topic. So this is where the tools that Kagan has called, he's got several different ones where there's spinners or in Q-chips, where these are just question stems in word pairs. But one of my favorite are some dice that we use, and these are, we can make our own as well. But here, the important thing is that students think it's a game. So they really, really think all of them are on task, all of them are engaged. There's individual accountability because each student takes turns rolling the die and coming up with a question. I'll give you a little scenario. Student one rolls the die, and it lands on the word pair, what is? the teams put their heads together, because I've seen this happen. It's not just, okay, that's your question, now give me mine. They really help each other.
Sure, sure.
So the team puts their heads together and they come up with what is matter. Okay. Student two then rolls the die. And it lands on the word pair, how would. So students then write, how would you describe matter? And then student three rolls, and it lands on how is. And the students put their heads together and come up with the question, how is matter measured?
And so this is the piece then where they are generating questions in a fashion that Kagan has described.
Exactly. And that's part of the group memory strategy, where they list questions. And so then the fourth finally rolls on what are, and the question is, what are the characteristics of matter? So in that little simple second part of the activity, they've generated questions: what is matter, how would you describe matter, how is matter measured, and what are the characteristics of matter? Now, the third part of this is they do kind of like a gallery walk. They go around and they can share, view what other teams have done, and then they come back and share or borrow. They come back to their original team and they can list additional questions.
Or refine the questions.
Or refine the questions or add to their prior knowledge. And then at the end, these are the, we put up all the questions so they become our setting purposes for reading or for learning questions. And I have found it to be a very powerful strategy, because after this, students are ready. They're ready to read, they're ready to learn, because they've generated the questions. This is where also the teacher comes in the well-planned lesson, because the teacher will have, you know, their content objectives and language objectives. So maybe the teacher then can generate some higher level questions as well to make them think, like the what would happen if questions.
So hypothetical questions.
Yes, where the students then start creating hypotheses for research and so forth. So that's how teachers and students work together in generating questions.
So let me ask you then, Juan, this really sounds like a very, very exciting and engaging activity. It does create a lot of ownership. How does the teacher take an activity such as you have just described and transfer that into another context or setting for learning how to read, or to read more deeply, or to understand reading better in a more powerful way? How does a teacher take an activity like that and use it as a springboard for becoming a more powerful and dynamic reader?
One of the things like that we've done in classrooms with students is that, you know, textbooks.
Sure.
In classrooms. And these are all, and they're going to be used, and teachers use their textbooks. For example, a science text or social studies text. And you know that at the beginning there are questions about the chapter, and students are going to read. And we've used the same structure of generating questions so that the students then can then generate their own questions for reading. Yeah. And then after reading, they send their questions to other teams to see if they have been answered and to see if what they read was comprehensible to them.
That's wonderful. It's mm-hmm. exciting. That almost sounds as if you begin focusing more on the benefits the students will derive in reading rather than focusing on the textbook itself.
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little more about that?
Yeah, because student-generated questions focus on the readers, not on the text. So really, the students are the focus here, which is what our philosophy is all about. Mm-hmm. The students are the center of instruction. So I think that's a powerful way to stimulate a sense of ownership of the learning. And I think that the teachers should provide opportunities every day for students to ask questions about text and generate their own questions. And again, teacher as facilitator. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. That's a great point. You know, we as teachers have been taught to run and manage classrooms and instruction in a certain kind of way. And as you say, the research shows that we end up asking a lot of questions, and we become the generators of questions. How do you help teachers to learn this new way of looking at the whole process of questioning that includes student-generated questions, one, and also higher-level questions that generate higher-level thinking on the part of teachers? How do you help teachers to learn that skill? What sort of professional development would you provide to teachers to help that to occur?
One of the most powerful ways in professional development and working with teachers is really modeling the strategies, the cooperative learning structures, the question matrix, and sharing resources with them, but actually modeling them, that they are the students for the day. So that way they can internalize it and say, oh, I'm going to go and try this. Now I'm going to go and apply this in my classroom. I think they have to just experience it. That's why they talk about hands-on, you know, type of workshops. They do have to experience the strategy. I can't just go up there and talk to them and PowerPoint them to, this is the way you do it, and now go and do it. And it's not going to happen that way. They really do have to experience. We also, as far as technical assistance, we also can go into their classrooms and model this with their own students.
And so I would imagine that when they see you working with their own students in a real classroom context, they begin to understand this in a much more powerful way.
Absolutely, very powerful.
And it becomes a little bit easier then to integrate this new learning into the actual instructional style.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Exactly.
Well, you know, this is really exciting, Juanita, but we're quickly moving toward the end of our session together. I just wonder, in some kind of a summary sort of form, what would be the three most powerful points you would want to leave our listeners with regarding student questioning and the notion of fostering student question? What would those three points be?
Okay. I think that one is that when students generate their own questions, they take ownership of the learning. I think that's very, very important. It also stimulates and motivates students to really get into what they're going to learn. And everybody talks about, how do we motivate? How do we stimulate? The students are bored. You know, exactly. They take ownership. They're stimulated. And then it's also very, you know, that intrinsic motivation where, oh, I really am going to learn, or I want to learn about this because it's of interest to me.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Juanita Garcia, I cannot thank you enough for taking time out of your very busy schedule to be here. I think talking about a hugely important issue, and that is, how do we foster student questions? Because it does create the sense of ownership and engagement and a intrinsic sense of motivation. I think that those are real powerful points. And certainly in this day and age, we are really talking about students being creators and owners of their own learning.
Absolutely.
And this seems to open a door for that.
Absolutely.
Can't thank you enough for taking time out to share that with us. And I want to say, as we are closing, just remind you that you can certainly and should, if you like what you hear, refer this podcast to 2, 3, 4 of your friends, or as many of them as you know will benefit from it. Don't forget to sign up for our free email alerts that will let you know when each episode of the Class Notes is available. I encourage you once again to sign up for our Graduation for All newsletter at our website. And don't forget that we would love to hear from you, love to receive your feedback and your comments on not only this podcast episode, but any of our podcast episodes that you can reach at our website. We look forward to that and look forward to hearing from you and seeing you again on our next podcast. Be sure to take care of yourselves and share this information with a friend. Until then, this is Dr. Bradley Scott signing off.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org, or fill out the form on our podcast webpage, at www.idra.org/podcasts.